As of now, we're recording.
Welcome to Prosecution Council, everybody. Appreciate Summit County for hosting this. Like to go around the table so we know who's here, starting with Bob, please.
Bob Church, UPC.
Anne Marie Howard, Chief Deputy Job County Attorney for Ryan Peters.
Robert Cosen, City of St. George.
Kosar Red Weaver County.
Marlies Jones, UPC.
Conway, UPC.
Will Carlson, proxy for Sim Gill, Salt Lake County.
Barry Huntington, Chair Garfield County, have the proxy for Morgan County.
Tyson Skeen, UPC.
Steve Garcia, Layton City, also proxy for David Carlson, who's still here on his way out the door.
And then Kathy is here for Haley.
Kathy Locker with EPA.
Carol Jaskison, Prosecution Council.
All right, we appreciate everybody's attendance. Let's get to the agenda. Has anybody had the opportunity to read through the minutes of the 25th meeting?
I move that we approve the minutes of April 25th, 2018.
We have a motion to approve the minutes. Do we have a second? I'll go ahead and second. I'll go ahead and second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, minutes are approved. Bob, let's get into the financial report.
Okay. Tab B is where all the finance information is. The first exhibit there is the surcharge. Actually, here, it's just easier if I refer to my director's notes. Okay. The surcharge for April of 18 was $47,117. You can see that's about $2,000 less than last year. May's surcharge was $48,471, which is up $5,000 from last year. So that's kind of what the trend has been. The year-to-date surcharge is $463,000, which is up by just about $2,000 from last year. And then you can see what the year-to-date court receipts are. District court, $2,008,000, Justice Court, $13,000,000. It's just interesting how these flip-flop. The district court is down compared to last year, but Justice Court is up by $1 million compared to this year. The FY18 year-end budget comparison is in your report, but because we're, 6 to 8 weeks now before we really get final numbers from the AG's office, we can't reconcile and close out the year-end budget. But we believe that we will be fine, but we'll have the final report for you all in September. So tab C is, right now, is the proposed budget for next year. Last year, I was able to meet with the finance director from the AG's office. She has not yet been able to meet with me this year. The reason I say that is last year, she actually had, some really good precise numbers, so I had to do the estimate that we traditionally have done. So let me just go through this. Shouldn't have eaten before we started. I conservatively estimate that we're going to get about $537,000 in the surcharge. I think that actually is going to be more. But again, just based on the formula from the last few years, that's what I think it will be. I'm anticipating that we'll have about $150,000 in carryover. Now, the reason that that's as high as it is I think that we're going to have $40,000 to $50,000 carryover in our budget because we've been doing, as well as we have. And then because Peter and then Marlies did not start working for UPC until October, we actually didn't pay them until November. That's about half of the money that we received from the SB 200. We received $182,000. So we will have spent approximately half of that. So that the remaining balance should carry over. What we are using a portion of those funds for is sponsoring three prosecutors to go with Marlies to NDAA's Prosecuting Sexual Assault Conference that is in Bellevue, Washington. We received applications, and Blair Wardle from Box Elder, Susan Hunt from Davis, and Zach Whalen from Washington County were selected to go. Just so the council is aware, we talked about it last week, is we're looking for people in a broad range across the state, experience. So that's why they were chosen. The next kind of big ticket item on the budget is the $30,000 that the AG's office has agreed to give us. We were hoping to get some of it spent down before the end of the fiscal year, but we did not. So that will, I guess it's not really a carryover, but we should have access to that in next year's fiscal year. $12,000 of that we'll be using to offset the cost of BASIC. We're able to justify that because if it's a BASIC as a domestic violence DUI scenario. And then we're going to use the remaining $18,000 to sponsor up to 8 prosecutors to attend NDA's domestic violence conference. I received the applications earlier this week, but Marlise has been out of the office. Most of us have been out of the office, so I'm hoping that the first part of next week we can sit down and make a selection. And it may be, I only got 8 applicants, and it may be that all 8 will be accepted. So, okay. Advanced trial skills, we have budgeted for that. We haven't done one in almost 4 years. Training committee, I don't know if Steve will talk about it, but they're looking at a significant revamping of that curriculum. I budgeted in a cybercrime conference. I was going to have Marilyn talk about, she'll get more details during the training committee. But we budgeted for a 2-day cybercrime conference. We're hoping that we can get together with maybe ICAC from the AG's office or another, maybe Salt Lake County, and co-sponsor. So what I have budgeted is if we bear the full cost, but if we're able to get some co-sponsors, we may be able to reduce those charges. I've also budgeted in a DV-101 boot camp, and that's only if the carryover is as much as I'm projecting that it will be. So that one may get axed, and then part-time secretary, I budgeted for part-time secretary. Again, carryover's not as much as I think. Then we will not get a part-time secretary. So a secretary would go first before we would cut any of the proposed training. As always, these are just projected numbers. When you look at it, we do balance. I think we have, based on everything, I come to the good by $1,800. But as I said, I think we're going to get more in the surcharge. And if we don't, then there are things that we can cut within this budget and still remain in balance. So unless anybody has any questions, I don't think there's anything. Oh, PIMS income. Ron will talk about this when we get to e-prosecutor. Last year, I only projected $20,000 in income. I'm reducing that again by half. Just with the anticipation that we'll be moving to e-prosecutor the first part of the calendar year, which means then that we won't have as many PIMS users. So I'm just trying to wean us off PIMS income. Let's see, what else? I broke out, not that any of you would recognize this, but Tyson and I sat down in Maryland and I've broken out the grant funds that Tyson gets. It's just easier for me to keep track. So you'll notice we've got his salary and benefits, we've got supplies, operating costs, as well as his travel so I know exactly how much he's got to spend and whatnot. And just so you'll know, when we dealt with Tyson's salary last year, this salary increase has been covered by his grant, so actually there's been no out of UPC budget costs for the raise that was approved for Tyson. Let's see. I have requested to get, if you look at on the first page, the administrative fees we pay to the Attorney General's office, $35,007. I've asked if we can get a breakdown on that because it's supposed to cover like equipment, office supplies, office furniture, and some other things. And I want to make sure that I'm not budgeting and or paying out of our budget what the AG's office should be covering. So I'm hoping, within the next couple of weeks, Kimberly will be able to meet with me and we might be able to, find some savings or reduction on some of the other items on the budget. Let's see. We will have the new county attorney training this year. So we budgeted about $2,000 for that. We will have several that we'll need to go through that. So we are looking at probably January sometime when we will hold that. And Margaret has been in your position, how long now, Margaret?
A year.
Yeah.
A year and a couple of weeks.
So we'll finally get Margaret some training. In fact, we may be coming to you and just saying, you know, hey, share with them what you have learned this first year, what you wish you would have known or something, but we'll talk later. Yeah, lessons learned.
January.
Right before the session starts, I think is what we're going to try.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Okay. I included a donation to the Utah Journal of Criminal Law of $2,500. Of course, that's completely up to you. A report on that, I forgot to put it on the agenda. The last article has been submitted to Judge Nolan for editing, and we hope to go to print here shortly. And then, you know, probably by late summer, you all should be seeing your copy of the journal I provided. All the prosecutor's addresses, so everybody should be getting a copy of that when it comes out, and then we can evaluate whether or not we want to continue to make a donation to them. Another savings that we found is we're not paying as much for server costs anymore. Ron found that, so we saved some training there. LEOJ, we're continuing to budget $2,000 for that. Who wasn't in your office, Will, that called me? And Vince, no, not Vince. Anyway. We're looking at restarting LEOJ again, and so we've agreed to continue to support that with $2,000. And then the rest of that is just staff. So again, like I said, unless anybody has any questions, this is, you know, what I'm proposing, but I anticipate that it will be changed and we'll firm it up come September.
Do you need any motions? Just proposed?
Just if you say it's okay for the proposed, and then. Because there will, I guess we will incur some expenses between July and September that is based on this budget, so yeah.
So you do need a motion?
Approve the proposed budget for now.
So moved by Dave Carlson.
Seconded by Sim Gill.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Do we need to go to Steve for the John Justice?
Yeah, we'll just give a quick breakdown on.
Anybody applying for that? Or?
We did. As you know, we've been doing this, I can't remember how many years now, but each year they give us a less amount. This year it was probably about the same as last year. It was about 38 grand, right?
A little bit lower than that.
$38,000. But also the number of applicants has gone down as well. As you know, we have to split those funds in half, and give half to public defenders and half to prosecutors. There's always more prosecutors that apply, and so they get a smaller amount of the piece of pie. But we went through that, and I think that everybody who applied, they met our criteria. They did receive an award. Just to try to make things fair, we've come up with some different criteria as far as how long someone's been practicing and their combined household income, but we also look at the number of dependents they have and those type of things. Anyway, so we were able to get that done, use the same formula we've used in the past, and I don't know, I hope everybody's going to be happy with what they got. Obviously, it's less, but we can get that done.
The committee met 2 weeks ago, and just with travel and UPAA and my dad's issues, I haven't gotten the notifications out. I'm hoping to do that first part of next week.
All right, training committee report, Steve.
Let's see, we haven't, I think I gave the longer report last time after we'd had our meeting. Bob's mentioned that we do have the funding now for an advanced trial skills course, so we'll be putting that together. Maryland has been pushing for us to do a Top Gun type of a program where we keep the skills of our trainers up, and so we're looking at doing that as well. Obviously, those would both be on a smaller scale than what our regular things we do. A new one that I'm excited for, and I'm sure that Marlise is excited for too, is this DB-101 boot camp. I think that will be undoubtedly fabulous for a lot of the, not just the new prosecutors, but some of those that maybe still struggle with some of those fundamental DUI issues, dynamics, I should say, that we all struggle with in trying to understand. That will help us with that. Marilyn's gonna talk a little bit about the cybercrime conference. Do you wanna do that? And if you want to hit on those other topics as well.
Yeah, and go right into UPA, might as well do that.
Okay. I went to a conference, and this is a speaker. Her name is Michelle Stewart, and she's the owner and instructor of JAG Investigations. She talked about online...
What does JAG stand for?
I don't know what the JAG stands for.
Judge Advocate General?
Yeah, that's not
it. But she specializes in OSINT, which is Open Source Intelligence. It's a data collection from like public available sources, so you can go online and do all this stuff that's used in gathering intelligence. So she spent 8 hours, a whole entire day. She's a former investigator, retired, and so she's out on the speaking circuit. And she outlined how you do cellular platform security issues, like online personal security risks that help you protect yourself and your family. So it was an interactive all day long. We were on our phones, our laptops, and your devices on researching techniques of open source database on the web, of locating intelligence, hidden information on somebody so that you can protect your identity with relatives and associates. So she was able to show us how you can pinpoint someone is in a given moment, at that time. So we were finding ourselves, we were finding relatives, we were finding people overseas in real time. She had us doing things on our phone, taking things off where people can track us, or how our information is sold. For instance, when you go into a grocery store and they ask for your discount little card thing, and if you don't have it, what are they asking for?
Your phone number.
So when you go to Smith's and you don't have that, they ask you for your phone number. That information is sold. You can also go on. Have you ever heard of a site called Pond? Have you been Pond?
PWNED.com. Mm-hmm.
It's called Have You Been Pond? PWNED.com. And it'll tell you where your information has been sold, who's it been sold to, when it was sold to. It's pretty fascinating.
It also gives you information about if any of your accounts or your passwords have been hacked into potentially, and then that gives you an update. You better change your passwords.
And she recommends any kind of account you have that you have a password and an email for each one to protect yourself. How to use your social media platforms. How kids with their Androids or iPhones, those are your best protected type of phone that you have. Any other kind of phone is really easy to hack into, but how kids, you're given an IP number. When kids go into school now, everything is on Google, right? So your kids, when they do their homework, can now be found by any kind of predator just by their IP number that the school gives them.
That's crazy.
So yeah, if you want to get scared to death, this is a good one. And how to do things, geo-track people using your tweets and Instagram. She gave us an example of an Instagram, InstaChat, what is that?
Snapchat.
Okay, there's Snapchat and there's also Snapcash. Have you ever heard of Snapcash? We've all heard of Snapchat. So her associates came to her and said, my daughter is bringing home high-end purses, Louis Vuitton and all those kind of things. She's 14 years old, and saying that these are hand-me-downs, or her friend gave them to her. Well, to make a long story short, she went on Snapchat, purported herself to be 18 because you have to be 18, and was sending out pornographic pictures of herself. People would go online through Snapchat. They were downloading money to her directly to her account. She had her own account at a bank, and when they found out, she had like $5,000 in this account. So some pretty interesting things. She brings up on real-time stuff that kids from the age on up go in, and she says, this is what your children are seeing, and it was pretty quick, but it was a lot of pornographic stuff that our kids in school, and they could do this on their Google issued school thing. So that's what we want to bring is to bring that and do a day and a half use her for a day and then work it around maybe ICAC or anybody else that's applicable to these types of technology. Another way they track people that was really interesting was through your pets. No one lies about their pets. Why would you tell your vet a lie about your dog? So they find you through your pet tags, which was really fascinating. So we'd like to do that around her. She's pretty pricey. For corporate companies, it's anywhere from 10 to 13,000. For us as government, she's 5,000. That's our break. So we want to use her all day long.
And that's also why we want to get a co-sponsor, so we don't have to bear that cost. And she's actually not available till 2019. No, 20.
She's available 2019 in October.
Yeah, so we'll take this to the training committee and you know, flesh it out with them. And
but she's out of Arizona. So she's pretty close.
We'll meet her halfway and at the conference.
We'll meet her halfway.
Yeah, in the fall.
CANAB conference center should be there.
So the conference that I went to was our UPA counterpart in Idaho, but they do something different. They bring in prosecutors and cops and investigators the first day, and so there was a whole mix of a group. Jared Olson, who is Tyson's counterpart, he has come and talked to us about the same type of material, and I was asking him in comparison to what he knows and what he's trained on. Michelle is like me on steroids, so she's really comprehensive, and I highly recommend her here.
That goes into UPAA.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, for
UPAA. Now we're going to UPAA.
Yeah.
We just had our conference. It was phenomenal. Marlies spoke, and she had us laughing and crying at the end. She spoke twice on DV, and then at the end, how to be your best self. Which was really good. Our theme, which followed throughout, was Start By Believing. And if you're familiar with the Start By Believing campaign, we have Chief Monahan and his counterpart. Her name is Melissa Sikora from Prescott, Arizona. They came, and Justin Boardman and Courtney Hughes from Provo spoke to us about Start By Believing, which is you start by believing your victim more times than not. She's telling the truth, and this is the other part of the trauma informed. To me, this is the other part of what Donna, what Donna started, the forensic part. This is the whole other part that goes with that. And they talked a lot about the brain. Marlies talked a lot about the brain and how that all works. So that whole day was taken up. Bob did legislative update, which everybody loved and enjoyed.
Especially his socks.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing any today. Well, or I'm wearing the no-show socks.
If you want to go on the website, really get a flavor for what the UPA conference was, it's on our website. We had a photo booth, which is a first for UPC ever. We had to do that more often, but it was really kind of fun. Everybody was really engaged. Clinton Care Bear. He came and spoke to us again. You know, you heard him at spring conference. I asked him if he would make it more basic this year, and so he brought it down to really what is encrypted coins and how that translates to. Can you go to the bank and, you know, cash out, how that all works? And then he got into other areas. It still kind of went along with the Start By Believing, you know, those that have been scammed, you know, through those prosecutions. Anything I'm missing?
Weber County came about solving an 18-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, the Crystal Land. Belowitsky.
That's awesome.
It's a cold case. It's 20 years old. She was murdered in 1999 here in Heber. She was a 17-year-old prostitute, and the guy bludgeoned her to death with the granite rocks that are up here. And they couldn't find out who he was until later on through this technology. They took a rock that had matter on it, and I think we're one of a very few in the state of Utah that DNA caught the guy that did it, and they had to extradite him from Florida. That was an all day. It was 4 hours. Fascinating. And we had the investigators, the prosecutors, and Joel Rowley, who's on our board.
You said Weavers. It's
Wasatch County. Wasatch County. So it was, you know, a whole spectrum of the whole team that did it. But it was that DNA. She was found, you know, at the creek. You know, can't remember the creek, the river. Just some farmers had found her. It was in the winter, so her body was frozen. It was like 27 degrees. Case Wade was the one of the prosecutors, and he mentioned. He said, you know, he says, when I started going through the case and through all of the evidence, you know how you look through the pictures, and they showed us the pictures, and I'm not really into the pictures. I'm not paid to look at all the evidence, but. He said, you know, after we got through going through the evidence, I looked at the date and realized this just wasn't another case. This just wasn't more evidence to look at. She was my age. In 1995, I was home complaining about that I didn't get to play or start on the football team, and she was being murdered.
She didn't have any family or anyone to call and hassle them about her or anything. That's one of the things I thought was so cool, is just to have nobody and this office.
No one cared about her.
Yeah,
after the case was reopened, her family, no one showed up. It was the prosecutors that cared.
And it was, so to follow up for 18 years when nobody, I thought that was really cool.
So to start by believing was even more profound. What was another thing that stood? From the start by believing in those kinds of things, Courtney Hughes from Provo came up to me afterwards, and she says, you know, this conference isn't any different when we present. They had two or three people come up and disclose for the first time of sexual assault. And one of them was for the first time. Diane Story from Sandy City. 2 years ago at a UPA conference, she was called out of the conference, and I went with her, and two officers had come to the conference, and her daughter had been murdered in Evanston, Wyoming, you know, got herself mixed up with, you know, some really bad sorts, two little children involved, and she was at the conference. And so, I mean, it really impacted a lot of people on not only a professional basis, but on a personal level. So it was a really good conference. I hope any of your assistants that went enjoyed it as well. So, that was my conference report.
What about tests? How many people took it and how many people passed it?
We don't know who passed it. There was about 9 people that took it. I was really surprised, but yeah, it was 9 people who took it and passed, or that took the exam. Joel will let me know. Who passed. We typically have a 50% pass or fail. Some years are better than others, but sometimes it's a pretty comprehensive test if you've ever looked at the manual to study for it. It's pretty overall. We have 2 openings on the board, one for a city and for a county. So if you have anyone in your office, I know you're Michelle, she's contacted me. But we did have a city while that was going on also leave us. So, and we're hoping with the elections that Haley, she's our chair, that she will be able to stay with us from Provo County or Utah County.
She just needs to tell them that's
what I'm sweating over that one. Anyway, we have 2 openings. So if you have anyone in your office that's interested, we would love to have them contact us. They need to get approval from you before they contact me or send me any kind of an email. All I need is an email, just kind of giving me, not really a resume, but just a little bit about themselves and why they want to be on the board. As far as budget for UPAA, we are well under budget. We spent, we're about $2,500 under budget.
Good job.
So, with the appropriation of